G'day and welcome to today's very special episode, as it is International Women's Day in Agriculture. I'm sure you're aware, but this episode goes in a little bit deeper to see what it's all about. Today runs different for our very first panel discussion with four amazing women looking back at me as I speak right now that you'll actually hear from later in the show. It's pretty daunting. They must think it's pretty daunting to be on a podcast, but it's daunting for me to be talking whilst they're looking down the barrel and seeing what I'm going to say next. But nonetheless, I do love talking about ways to improve agribusinesses on this podcast, Farms Advice podcast, and have loved the input women have had on the podcast. Naturally, I haven't needed to level the playing field as women in agriculture are shaping the podcast itself without them actually knowing it. With their innovative and entrepreneurial assets that they have in their toolbox ready for agribusiness, I seem to just pick a little piece out here and there that really goes to shape Australian agriculture, but also this podcast. A phrase I wrote earlier on in the week on Instagram leading up to this show captured it pretty well for this episode, I think. It goes, "They're my mentors, leaders in the industry, they just don't know it yet. These women are part of the cohort I've spoken to because they're doing things a little bit different, going against the grain when they should and zagging when they're told they shouldn't." So when this opportunity came along, of course I said yes to farmers, to founders. I couldn't have said it really any quicker. Sky will be able to tell you. They put this together, so I'll thank them, the women on the show leading the way in how they're running their businesses. All businesses on the show today are very different, but they do have a lot of the same characteristics and a common theme. They're actually led and ran by women. The women who are listening for playing a vital part in Australian agriculture, we could not thank you all enough. You're needed and worthy of so much more than you know. Also, if you're a bloke, share this episode for the women in your life working hard in agriculture, but also out of agriculture. It's a bit of an inspiring sort of journey we're going on today. And if you're a woman working within agriculture, keep striving for new heights. I've got your back. And before I keep going on, let's get on with the show. Thank you very much, Skye, for coming on to the show. She's the executive director and also a Farmers to Founders alumni. Beautiful to have you on, as long as the other ladies in the room today.
Thanks very much, Jack. We're really happy to be here and great to share this session with some of our alumni today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of my privilege than yours, but we'll get into it and introduce the women on the podcast today and how vibrant they are within their own communities. So to Jenny Moore, a chickpea and lentil farmer from Wimmera, Victoria. The Wimmera Grain Store sells a range of pulse-based products by promoting her tasty snacks, encourages visitors to the area of Wimmera and the Mallee region. G'day, Jenny. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks for having us on.
It's beautiful to have you on from your area down there in Wimmera. It's probably going to get very busy down there come harvest time.
Yes, fingers crossed. The crops are looking good. Our lentils are flowering at the moment and looking lovely. So we've just got to get them through the frost. So fingers crossed, it should be a good season, we're hoping.
Absolutely, and some bit of warmer weather to finish them off. Beautiful. And we'll move on to Jenny Danaher from Galicious Grown. Thank you for coming to the show, Jen.
Hi, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Beautiful to have you from your different perspective that you may have on your journey into agriculture as well. They produce a line of award-winning, chemical-free, gourmet black garlic products such as salad dressing, aioli and paste. And I can't wait to hear all about it and your journey to get where it is, and especially within the COVID pandemic.
Yes, no, COVID certainly threw some different dramas our way, and we've all had to use that word pivot, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great way to put it. Pivoting in a new direction, but also remembering what your true focus is. And then moving into Fiona Turner, co-founder of Bitwise Ag. Their green view of ag tech solution provides growers with actual count imagery and analysis tools to guide crop management decisions. Welcome to the show, Fee.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here, Jack.
Absolutely. Great to have you all on the show, and thank you for being all a part of it. Sky, I'll kick it off to you to see how we get this show on the road.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Jack. Well, I might, if you don't mind, just give a bit of an intro into Farmers to Founders. So we've been around for about 3 years now, going into our third year. And over those years, you know, we've helped lots of producers to create and scale ag tech and value-added food ventures. And we do this through our innovation pathways. And we've recently rebranded our programs, which are called Hatch, Hone and Harvest. And basically, these programs are there to provide support and help to producers and other agri-food innovators who are, you know, they could be working on an idea. So that very early stage, right through to kind of scale up and internationalization, which you'll hear from our alumni today. So all the women today have gone through our programs that used to be called boot camps. So they're going to be able to share some really great stories with you.
I bet they're all beautiful companies on the rise up and all very different in their own means. So it's great to see the different perspectives. And I imagine, Sky, from your end of it, Farmers to Founders, the range of ideas that are coming out are pretty cool to see, especially from the farming background.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting. And, you know, the greatest thing is that, and what we truly believe and passionate about, is that producers need to be at the center of innovation. And the reason for that is that they truly understand the problems deeply, both from a on-farm perspective and also for their industry. And so that's why they can be, you know, fantastic kind of problem solvers in their own right. Yep. And really are, you know, open to kind of commercializing and developing technology or value-added food businesses themselves.
Yep. I've actually had a few ideas that haven't gone commercial, obviously, but I think farmers are probably looking for that support on the commercial viability of it to be able to scale it to what these ladies on the show today have done. So it's very important for Farmers to Founders. You're an important link in the industry. And I think as you grow yourself, you're going to see that role carry on into the future.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Jack.
Beautiful. So, Jenny, COVID has played a significant impact on our business, especially rural communities that rely on tourism. Yeah, tell me more about your Rip and Yip Living to encourage more tourists to the area. Hopefully I pronounced that correctly. And how you've inspired other women to collaborate and start their value-adding adventures.
Okay, Jack, look, certainly. So by way of background, my family are from a place called Rip and Yip. So good try on the Rip and Yip, almost there. It's located in northwestern Victoria, about 3.5 hours drive from Melbourne. Look, to be honest, the family have been into the added value space since the early 90s when we first started growing chickpeas and other pulses as part of our crop rotation. And then I got involved probably about 7 or 8 years ago with the real added value side in a retail context. So in addition to being able to sell our products as a commodity, we've also been developing a range of added value products, namely shelf-ready plant-based products. These retail packs have actually got the Rip and Yip silo art on it, which has been designed to promote our town, our region, our art and our food with the focus of actually appealing to the tourist market. We got into this space because what we'd like to do is to raise the profile of towns like Rip and Yip to attract tourists, and then with a longer term aim of trying to create investment for the town and the region. And the reason being, Rip and Yip, like other small rural communities, the town's size and population are declining. So we're looking for strategies to try and turn that around. So how did this all come about? Well, we started a campaign which those involved called, well, we call it putting Rip and Yip on the map. And it all started because of 2016 being part of the International Year of Pulses, whereby we saw an opportunity to link what we grow in the area to tourism. So I did a number of Death by PowerPoint presentations and got the Rip and Yip community involved in thinking about how we could link into the global and national campaign around International Year of Pulses, add value to what we grow, and then raise the profile of the town at the same time. So we came up with an idea or a logo, a town logo, which we called Rapanya of a Town with Pulse, and which the community on police to say bought into the idea and the concept. It was about that time that I got to know Claire from Rapanya Living. Claire has a beautiful giftware shop in the centre of Rapanya. She bought into the idea and the concept of branding the town. And so when I started milling chickpeas into flour, I gave her a sample and she turned that chickpea flour into a brownie. The brownie is now a tourist attraction in its own right. From that then, Claire and I started chatting to another lady by the name of Beck. Beck Dunlop now has a 1970s retro brand van in the middle of town called Seed and Sprout. Beck's really into the healthy eating side of the pulses and the chickpeas. And all of this has been, we've been working together for a number of years and we're pretty excited because early this year we finally got Backroads to come and film at Rapanya. And believe you me, where COVID's concerned, there was a lot of, okay, we're coming to film, and then they couldn't come because of all the lockdowns and everything. But eventually they got there, and then it aired in May of this year. And it's been such a, even in spite of all the challenges of COVID, it's been so good to raise the profile of the town, and actually every time it plays, it results in tourists coming into the town. So a bit of a long-winded story, Jack, but, yeah, we got there.
A beautiful story nonetheless. And that journey of you going into finding how you can relate tourism with your products that are produced within the region, do you look at that as these, you're looking for investment into the region as well, but like the tourists investing into your products, is that a way that you've looked at investment as well? Investment they can take away with them?
Yeah, look, absolutely. There's multiple revenue opportunities with this. So in terms of just a straight, I put together the snacks and then they're distributed through regional stockers. So we're not only paying back to the grower, there's that whole economic cycle whereby the grower, we buy the product from the grower, we then make a margin on it, then the stockist earns a margin on it, and then we're also profiling the town at the same time. So everybody in the chain gets a little bit back, which then goes back into the community.
Yeah, absolutely. Just what you want, and especially if the farmers are doing well and the community is quite vibrant, you can start to see everything sort of lift up, even into the bigger cities of Dubbo where I'm based. If the farmers are doing really well, so is the town as well. But we'll move on into that. And then what attracted me so much to Farmers to Founders is that value adders are what they're looking for, and these farmers looking for a different revenue stream. What would be your piece of farms advice, your tips for the women out there that are looking to jump into this, start to hatch their egg, as Skye talked about just before, and start to get the ball rolling?
Look, I think it's a really exciting space for women. I think the women are going to lead this added value or ag tech change. And my advice would be get help early. Having completed programs like Farmers to Founders, it saves you time and money. I've got product that I've got into Hong Kong that I wouldn't have got over the line if it wasn't for Farmers to Founders help. The network of subject matter experts that they introduce you to, and in the area of getting my products into Hong Kong, I needed someone who knew about Hong Kong and overseas contracts. And it was Christine Pitt who introduced me to a lawyer who helped me, get the contracts together to enable the deal to go ahead. And it's that network that they really home in on that's just fantastic. As well as, just other things like the whole customer discovery. And then it's also really competitively priced way of doing things. You're not paying thousands of dollars to get to do customer research, because they've got all these amazing tools that can make customer research really cheap, website development cheap, social media activities. It's just brilliant. In fact, I've been playing this space, as I said earlier, for a number of years, and what took me years through trial and error can be condensed into a number of months doing a Farmers to Founders program.
Yeah, absolutely. You can sort of jump on the bandwagon of the mistakes that Farmers to Founders has sort of made themselves, and then you get to reap the rewards by their great research and jump in there. But Jenny, thank you very much. We'll move from the grain store in Wimmera there to Jenny from Galicious Grown. Jenny, thanks for coming on the show. We'll move in to see what your motivations was to start your value add, the garlic grown on your property, and turn it into what is this high-end black garlic product? Tell us all about it.
Yeah, okay. So both Cathy and I have properties on either side of Braidwood, and Braidwood is a great growing, a garlic growing climate because it gets really cold here, and so it's very suitable for that. And we were growing really great garlic, and I guess growing garlic is very labor intensive too, for it, until you get to a really big scale where you can afford all the machinery and the like. And so it's labor intensive for not a great, a huge return, I suppose. So there was always in the back of our minds thinking, well, what else can we do with this product? And really, we just stumbled across black garlic one day in a posh foodie magazine and just decided, well, hey, let's just give this a go. And when we did produce it for the first time, just on a really small scale, we were probably really surprised and very pleasantly surprised at how great it tasted. And we thought, this has really got legs. And we've now just got to work out how we can do it on a much more economical scale, because we initially started doing it with a very small bench dehydrator, which was just sending power out the window for, you know, 30 days. And so then we worked out how to do it on a large scale so that it was actually economically viable to do on a commercial scale, I guess.
Yeah, I see. Like, one thing is to be able to make the product within probably your bounds of your home, within a personal sort of dehydrator.
Exactly.
I did it with beef jerky at university and sold it to a few mates, but getting that to commercial prospects and having that black garlic, the higher end sort of product, how did you first take your first steps into it? Was it seeing where you can plant it on your farm, or is it going into the research side of it straight away?
I guess initially it was really, you know, because it was such a new product, it was like working out whether people actually liked it. So I guess we taste tested it on all our family and friends to see what they thought of it. And given we had nothing but positive feedback, we thought, yeah, we've got to do something more with this. And I suppose it just grew that way. And I guess then our range extended sort of through almost a natural extension. Like, in some ways, some of our black garlic went wrong, or we cooked it too much. So then we thought, oh, we'll dehydrate it and powder it. So next thing, we had a black garlic powder. And then that, you know, just, and then just through contacts, we then decided to get it added to other products, which expanded our range. So we have a dressing, and we have an aioli, and then we have a paste. So all of our line has slowly expanded almost through, almost by accident, I guess, in a way, which has been great.
Yeah, well, I'd say that would be much relatable to a lot of others out there, and then a few of the ladies on the call today. But for yourself, the self-development for it, how did you learn more about yourself as you moved into and progressed into entrepreneur, farmpreneur during the Farmers to Founders program that you were in?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, no, Farmers to Founders was fabulous. And I guess, to be honest, the thing that we probably learnt the most about ourselves initially through Farmers to Founders is that we were probably better entrepreneurs than we gave ourselves credit for, because we were thinking we were just stumbling across this product by accident. But when we sat down at Farmers to Founders but putting out your business plan, it made us realize how much we had actually already done. And the Farmers to Founders coaches certainly helped encourage us to say, hey, this is a truly viable business that can certainly be scaled a lot bigger than it is at the moment. And they gave us the confidence to be able to do that, really, and to think a bit further outside the square of where we were going. So to allow more customers in different sales channels and help us, just to grow, which we are continuing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I see entrepreneur, the word gets thrown around within agriculture a bit less than what it would do. Say, like, everyone's sort of heard of Silicon Valley. That's where it sort of came from. But I think it's a growing niche for agriculture and allowing people to see those opportunities out there. As an entrepreneur, you're not limiting yourself into what you can and can't do. And you're building on yourself what you've learned across your journey and learning from farmers to founders, of course.
Absolutely. And the other thing that farmers to founders definitely did for us was, you know, we were just two people growing a business, and we had to realise that in actual fact, to grow, we couldn't do everything. So we had to start thinking about how we could outsource. And I suppose just getting that guidance about what we outsource or what someone else could do better to help us, which would save us time and money in the long run, was really great. Probably obvious guidance when you think about it now, but at the time it was really important and useful.
Yeah, so if you're going one out of it, you probably don't know what either side of your own view. So you don't know what others are running or what paths they've been down to, exactly. Or even easier one that like Sky may know of 1,500 others that have been down the same track as you. And if you move 2 centimeters to the left, you might be 20% better and improve your product or even your operations. Fantastic, Jenny, to hear about your products as well as Kathy, but she couldn't make the show today. So thank you very much for sharing a bit with us. We'll move over to Fiona Turner with Bitwise. Fiona, how are you going today?
Thanks.
Beautiful. Thank you for coming on to the show today. But let's talk about your product and what barriers you've overcome to become a successful female entrepreneur.
Oh, so this is a really hard one. I feel like I've overcome a ton of barriers. I feel like there's a barrier every day that we're trying to climb over. But I suppose one of the ones that sort of started out for us that was a little bit of a surprise, I suppose, was our journey started with Bitwise Agronomy when I moved down to Tasmania. I'm from rural New Zealand. Generations of farmers wanted to get back to the land, couldn't afford a sheep or beef farm, and you know, I think, let's give grapes a go, let's give wine a go. Who doesn't want to, you know, make their own wine and live the dream? So I came down here, we bought the vineyard, and Bitwise Agronomy was born out of the problems that I was having in the vineyard. And it was going well in the company. You know, the problems were being built out of, you know, my issues. And we came to our first investment round, and it was a real struggle, and I didn't know whether we were going to get through it. And, you know, I think it was because being a rural woman in a rural location, I just didn't have the networks that the sort of AI companies in Sydney or, you know, San Francisco or wherever they may be have. You know, I was sitting in at the, you know, at the back of Launceston in Tasmania on my vineyard, and it was really, really hard to get access to those investors. And what I found was that the first wave of investors that I talked to, you know, might have been sort of local, not sophisticated investors, not sophisticated in angel investment. So it was really hard for them to get through past this barrier as well, that I was a rural woman, even though I had like 15 years experience in deep tech and had farming as well. You know, I was pigeonholed into this, you're just a farmer, what do you know about AI? And you know, we got to a stage where we literally had $6,000 left in our bank account, and we were like, man, we need another investor. We need to get this across the line so we can keep the company going. And we just found a sophisticated investor that knew AI, that knew agriculture, and that was life-changing for us, but it also showed us the type of investors we want for our company as well. And the second round, our seed round that we've just closed, this investor has brought in a lot of people for us as well, and it's just been a total different experience.
Beautiful. And going for that investment, as a woman within agriculture, and you said that you've been pigeonholed into what the community sort of thought, where you're in rural communities, how did that help or not help you along your journey to find that investment for that? Did that tarnish your way to go about it?
Yeah, like the great thing about being, you know, living my problem and having it myself and being a rural woman is that the people that are buying the software and our product, like, know that we get it because we're farmers too. And that's helped with like our sales and our growth and that, because our customers, we are our customer, and they trust us, and we can talk farm language and the details of grapes and berries and things like that. And yeah, once we got over the hurdle and found the right type of investor who was sophisticated and we got access into that network, then this last raise took us 4 months, and we were oversubscribed, and we raised $2.4 million to grow our business for the next 18 months, which is really exciting. So it's literally been life-changing.
Absolutely. That's an astonishing amount to raise. So congratulations to you and your business for moving it that little bit wise more. But women within agriculture are much underrepresented in ag tech and agriculture around the world, as you know, and the listeners know out there. What tips would you give to other women who want to follow your path and are considering a future in ag tech, be it they're in a rural community like yourself and they may have been pigeonholed as well?
Yeah, I think ag tech gives a massive opportunity for women to get involved in farming. You know, we have to be innovative in the way that we farm, being women. You know, like, I can't maneuver the big machinery and do some of the more physical jobs by brute force. I've got to be smarter at doing that. But with the stream of ag tech and, you know, looking at the production and how do we drive production up and cost down, there's this really nice area for women to get involved in a less sort of brute kind of farm role. Not to pigeonhole the men and the men in ag either, but, you know, it really opens up agriculture to everyone. You know, someone from the city that understands how to analyze data in detail can now be part of the farming community and bring those skills into ag tech and bring their knowledge from other industries into this. So I really think it, you know, farming had a, you know, maybe like an identity crisis where it's not kind of glamorous enough. Well, now it is glamorous. You know, now anyone can work in farming and it's so rewarding. So this is an awesome way for women to get involved at so many different levels. You know, they can be a software engineer that does stuff to do with farming, or they could be a data analyst to do with it, or they can be out in the field doing ground truthing and understanding the agronomy of plants and then feeding it back to the ag tech companies as well. So, you know, there's sort of all sorts that go into an ag tech company, and you know, the opportunity is sort of there for the taking for women.
Yeah, absolutely. I see it as that's the growth part for agriculture, but we need to be able to educate those and see where these sort of roles are within agriculture. I see every role that's available outside of agriculture is available within agriculture as well. You don't actually have to work in the city, but it would be great to have a few more out in rural and regional communities, of course, just to bolster these communities. Great. It's a bit cheaper, as you may all know, living in the city. But Fiona, fantastic to hear about your story, your platform, and how you've gotten to there. Scott, the ladies on the show today are breaking boundaries and also working with Farmers and Founders. How have you gone on the journey of helping these women out for leading their businesses as entrepreneurs, farmpreneurs, agropreneurs, grain sellingpreneurs?
Yeah, well, I mean, for me personally, it's a very rewarding job to work with inspiring producers who are on this journey. And, you know, from you know, if they make, just even from having an idea and turning it into something, and just the opportunities for farmers to kind of create more value for their farm, diversify their farm, and capture that value back is really exciting. And so, yeah, it's a really rewarding job. And obviously it's not just me and Farmers to Founders, there's a whole team that kind of help producers on this journey. So yeah, it's fantastic, and really appreciate the ladies here talking today.
Yeah, absolutely. And we get to dive a little bit deeper into what women in agriculture have got and what they're ready to do. These ladies on the show actually representing their own companies that they've led from the start and really starting to move the dial for their own business. What sort of 3 points would they need to get together first to kick off their own journey within ag tech, within value adding their products as a farmer listening today?
So I guess, yeah, so Farmers to Founders is here to really support from all of those different stages. So, you know, you go through those different stages as an entrepreneur. And I guess the first thing is that, you know, we hear a lot that, you know, many people say they're not an entrepreneur. And you heard from Jenny as well, made the point that, you know, a lot of the time they don't have the confidence to start. And I guess what Farmers to Founders does is that we provide that very supportive, safe environment where you can talk about your ideas in a place where you're not sort of judged or criticized. You help to kind of, you know, form those ideas and work out really whether, you know, it's worthwhile pursuing. That's kind of where we start. And so, yeah, I guess it's, you know, there's a number of ways to kind of build up that confidence. And, you know, one of the ways that you can do that is, you know, trying to connect, build your network, trying to connect with other women and, you know, broader than that in your community. But also, you know, a job that we do is to try to inspire and make aware of these female founders like today. So that's so others can hear about their stories and be inspired by them and sort of hear that, you know, hey, I'm like that, you know, maybe I could do that. I've got an idea. And so there, and as soon as you've got that, we're here to provide that support.
Absolutely. It probably comes back to the core of women as becoming community nurturers. And then that's what Farmers to Founders is sort of doing, nurturing this community and allowing it to be a safe place for these crazy ideas to get thrown around. But in the end, they're probably not as crazy as they first thought. And they're coming into commercial fruition later with the boundaries of what you can do and can't do and what's the best route to get there.
Yeah, exactly.
So for COVID, when did you ladies actually start your businesses? How long have you been running for? We'll go to Jenny Moore from the Wimmera store. Jenny, how long have you been running the store for?
Look, I started trading probably 9 years ago. Yep. My brother taught me how to trade, and it was through my supply chain knowledge, or as my supply chain knowledge grew, is to why I've become interested in the added value space and particularly retail products.
So from that 9 years of experience, how much has changed, and has the pandemic really impacted the way you run your business?
Absolutely, lots of changes. So I think probably the most fabulous change is certainly having an influx of organisations like Farmers to Founders.
Yep.
So certainly 5 years ago or 6 years ago, when I was getting the International Year of the Pulse campaign up and running, it would have been so great to have such a support network as Farmers to Founders then. It would have been, yeah, I would have been so much more ahead then than I am now. In terms of COVID, yes, it's changed the whole, it's particularly changed the commodity market, whereby so many people are supplying into food services businesses that don't supply into a retailer. They're the ones that have pretty much been stripped out of these lockdowns. We've seen so many businesses just decide to close their doors or fold. That are in that genre. I've then seen some very clever businesses pivot from being only a supplier into cafes and restaurants, into their own retail brands, or engaging other, particularly agribusinesses, yep. or the small entrepreneurial businesses, and offering a, you know, unique retail product that you can't get in Coles or Safeway. There's been a massive move in that area as well in order to stay afloat. From my own retail perspective, I pretty much had to let my retail products sit for a long time because I was I've been homeschooling three children, as well as the fact that the product's been heavily geared to the tourism market. So it's had to sit, and even some of it I let sort of run down completely, and then I've just been gearing it back up, you know, in more recent months, taking on board some great feedback from Farmers to Founders, I will add.
I bet. So across those 9 years, how much has the conversation shifted for women in agriculture and the role that they play? I think the others, Jenny and Fee, I think their businesses have been going a bit shorter time. So from your experience, how has that shifted for yourself?
Look, I'd actually say it goes back further than that, Jack. I'd actually look at the role of women going back probably even 30 years, and that movement from only being a support to your husband and your husband, you know, working really long hours and you making sure that they've got food on the table, you're making sure that, you know, the family are fed, you know, right through to now the role of women is that, as I said earlier, the leadership role. I think it's pretty exciting. I mean, and I think Fee's summary really summed it up well earlier, because she's talking about the different skill sets. So going back 20 years, a farmer would aspire to getting a nurse or a teacher because that created diverse income streams for the farm. You know, these days, yes, get your lady friend that is a qualified food tech. You know, she could be a scientist, she could be an engineer, she could have an IT background. There are so many diverse backgrounds that women have that can pair up with the traditional farming model that will really create amazing diversified income streams for agriculture, the immediate family farm or corporate farm, right through to the community. And create all sorts of new businesses that can exist in small regional towns that couldn't exist, you know, 5 or 10 years ago.
Yeah, absolutely. We've really come leaps and bounds. And I think the COVID pandemic, Sky, you may be able to put a bit more onto this, has really escalated how quickly we've adopted these new technologies. Talking on a podcast like this probably wasn't as easy as it would have been 5, 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I think, like, well, you know, the fact that podcasts have exploded and all these, you know, new virtual ways that we communicate, it's not necessarily ideal. And I'm definitely looking forward to going back to some face-to-face, you know, contact with our cohorts. You know, Farmers to Founders had to pivot. We've been fully virtual for the last 2 years. And so just speaking from that perspective, it's had a, you know, a positive and, you know, some in some cases negative impact. And particularly, yep. Just an example is that it's harder for the cohorts to, you know, get those connections really deep. So both Fee and Jenny from Garlicious, they actually were in a cohort before COVID. And so they actually had that face-to-face time. And that was a really strong cohort that bonded together, which is a really important part of our program, is the cohort themselves become, you know, close friends and advocates for each other. And, you know, and then Jenny was in the most recent boot camp, which was fully virtual. And so I guess our experience was that it probably wasn't as connected, but still a great cohort. Everyone was still, you know, friends and happy, but just not having that face-to-face time, I think impacted. And, you know, I think I've met Claire, who's been in my team for quite a while now. I've met her once face to face. So it's funny when you work as a remote team. So our team's all remote across Australia. So, you know, we haven't seen each other for a long time. So that impacts as well internally in our business that we can't, you know, get on the whiteboard together and, you know, do all of those brainstorming things. But yeah.
Soon. Absolutely. Well, I think it's unreal to be able to talk to you all. I think I'd run out of money spending on fuel to go around to each of your house and have this conversation with you. So it's fantastic to bring you all in to today and what it's all about, women in agriculture and bolstering your position and the women out there, young and old, looking into maybe value adding to their farm or even just value adding to their life and making those personal development choices to have a better life for them, but also their family and what they do throughout it. An astonishing fact is women were only recognized as farmers in 1994. I looked that up, I think, last year, and I nearly fell over because that's younger than me. Just scrapes in there. But what do you think about that? And, like, I think we've come a fair way since then, getting this technology to spread our information that little bit quicker, to give women in agriculture that position, that role on the board that helps. It's not just about filling a seat though, I think. I think, like, women in agriculture have a huge role to play and they bring their own unique twist to things and see things a little bit differently to us blunt blokes that might just bulldoze in and not think about something before diving into it. Jenny from Galicious Grain, I'll go to you about that one. How do you feel that women in agriculture, how far they've come since you've been around, and what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. I think my mum would be horrified to hear that women were only recognised as farmers from 1994, having worked on my family farm all her life. And I feel like she would have definitely felt equal partner with my dad, not just a person that did the cooking and the washing. So I'm excited that that's actually a recognition point now, and that we can very confidently say that we're farmers, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And for yourself as entrepreneurs, you may not call yourself entrepreneurs, it's all in the details of running your business, those fine details, the one percenters. How important is that to get those right for your business and for Glitch's Grown?
Absolutely. It's huge, because I guess, particularly given that our product is, we're trying to market it as a gourmet, high-end product. So it's the subtleties that are really important. So your labelling has to look high-end. The wording on your products have to be considered high-end. And that level of detail, no offence to the men on the planet, but I think us women might do that a bit better. And, that you're right, it's those one percenters of that sort of level that we really need to be able to enter our product in a fairly niche market.
Absolutely. And what would be your one piece of farms advice that you'd like to pass on to any younger or older women out there looking to maybe even get some higher value products onto the shelves as well? Not garlic, hopefully.
I think it is, like you said before, Sky might have said it, about believing in yourself. Because like I said, yes, when we entered Farmers to Founders, I felt like, what am I doing here? This might be this business might not be going anywhere, and I should have had better, or fortunately Farmers to Founders gave us more of that confidence to go, you know what, this is a really great idea, and roll with it. And so to anyone, you know, with a similar type of product, I hope that they would just take the plunge, take the risk and go for it.
Absolutely. And I see by having these conversations that the ladies in the room on the Zoom actually have their true north focused in. You're not worried about what's sort of happening to the left, to the right of you. You're just focusing on probably improving your community and the role that you have within it, and also how others look into you. And hopefully we're not all pigeonholed into seeing, we don't know what ag tech does or how to analyze that data to improve it. So from your experiences, for yourself, what would be your one piece of advice moving on for women in agriculture looking to get into maybe agronomy or even the ag tech side of it?
Yeah, if you're passionate about it, just follow your passion. I think, you know, people are really successful in things that really are important to them and that they truly believe in. And I'm pretty sure that all of us here, our property businesses started from that. And I know that we did, we came back to be farmers and to work in the wine industry. We love farming. We love the rural community. And all these doors have opened to us because we're passionate about what we wanted to do and followed our dreams. So I think if it's an industry that you're passionate about, then it will embrace you. Yeah, and be successful.
Yeah, 100%. I think if your passion flows through, it's going to flow through your business and you'll see the rewards at the end. It may not come in the very short term, but that long-term outlook proves all the time. Proof in the pudding. So, Sky, I'll leave it back to you from the Farmers to Founders end of it. How are we going to wrap up this episode? I've never actually done this many people on an episode before. So to wrap that up, to give it the substance that really needs to happen for Women in Agricultural Day, pretty privileged to have all of you on, and then Farmers to Founders, the real backing into this for both the ladies and also the podcast coming on.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. I guess, I echo everything that has just been said by the ladies, and I really appreciate them coming on today to share their stories. And so I think, you know, and also to you, Jack, by providing this platform for, you know, the voice to be, you know, to inspire others. And so I guess my only word of advice is to, you know, don't just dream about it, you know, do it. And there's communities, there's networks, there's Farmers to Founders and lots of other organizations that are around to provide the support that you need to kind of get started. And so you don't need to be afraid. You can be confident and then take that very first step.
Yeah, absolutely. It starts with everything. This podcast, I sort of had to say, I actually asked my mum, I told her, don't let me start a podcast. I wanted to start it a bit earlier, but that was something I told her, and she failed pretty well at that. So I started one. So I think you just have to get in there, jump in, worry about what else is going to come after it. It can't go all that bad if you're going to fail. You're going to learn a little bit of something. All these books say it all the time. It drives me nuts. But that's literally what it is. If you get in, do it, fail, you're going to learn something. And these ladies here for the show, I'm sure they would have learned from their failures throughout their life.
Yeah, exactly. I guess just to build on that, it's all about, like, you know, a fail is not a fail. It's nothing to be ashamed of if you fail. It's just a learning experience. And so to get up and keep going. So, you know, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So this episode was all in collaboration with Farmers to Founders and the beautiful women we had on the show. We had Jenny, Fiona, and also Jenny again from the Wimmera Grain Store. Jenny from Delicious Grown, Fee from Bitwise Ag, that little bit better out in the paddock for you guys out there for agronomy. Thank you so much for coming on, pumping up the podcast, but also hopefully you get a little bit out of this self-development coming onto a podcast. Not sure if you've done a podcast before, but it's fantastic to have you on. And hopefully we can get that. The listener level for the podcast is actually 70% male and 30% female, which is pretty well what agriculture is throughout Australia. So hopefully we can lift that up and inspire a few women out there, young and old, to, it's never too late to start, as you may know. Any last remarks before we go?
All good from me, Jack. Thank you.
Nice to see you all.
Thanks so much
for
having
me. Thanks, Jack. Thank you. Talk soon.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to a pretty special episode with the organizers Sky Reward, and a special thanks goes out there to Claire Pink for putting this episode all together. And thank you very much to Jenny from Delicious Grown, Jenny also from Wimmera Grain Store, and also Fiona from Bitwise as well. I couldn't thank you enough for coming on this episode, but also leading the way for women out there, young and old, to see how an entrepreneurial mindset can really start to thrive out there in the ecosystem of Australian agriculture currently. Four women on this episode today really changing the game of how it's all done. And that's what we're all about on the podcast, to get those game changers on, to see how they do it, and maybe yourself as a listener or even a bloke out there, how you can take a leaf out of their book to go and improve your own enterprise back at home. So make sure you share this episode and listen to it on whatever your preferred podcast platform is. You'll see it all over socials. So make sure you share that with your mates, your mum, your dad, whoever you think that would find something quite useful for building rural women's resilience in the wake of COVID-19. Thanks for coming along, and I can't wait to celebrate women working with agriculture today, the rest of the day, and for the rest of the year as we get on. Where has the year gone, actually? No worries, we'll wrap it up there, and I'll see you on Tuesday. If you want to hear a little bit more about Farmers to Founders and where these speakers came from and the program they went through, find them at farmerstofounders.com. 2 being the numeral. See you next time.